Good evening. Good to see you here. God bless you. I'm glad to see you. It's going to be a good evening. Been a good evening already. And when we worship God, God welcomes our expressions. Not just our voices, but our hands. And, you know, you think about this, and this may help some of you Cowboy fans. You shouted on Sunday, okay? You were expressive with your worship there. And so, man, and some of you weren't here on Sunday. And I know you weren't here because you stayed home and watched the Cowboys. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to quit. I'm going to start praying for them if you'll come to church. If you don't come to church, I'm just kidding you, okay? I welcome all of you. Hey, if you need a Bible, why don't you raise your hand up real high? Once you get a Bible, go with me to Luke 12. Luke 12, just be expressive with your worship to God. I mean, it's incredible when you worship God from your heart. All right, the faith closet's open tonight, 30 minutes right after the service. You got to pick up your kids first. Cherry scholarship forms and money are due tonight. Hey, tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m., the men's discipleship is taking place. Project Love is Saturday morning. And this Sunday is the water baptism, so tonight's your last night to sign up for that. And we welcome you. If you have a desire to be water baptized, be sure and sign up for that. All right, we are going to jump into our tithes and offerings. And, you know, I'm grateful today. I tell you, I hadn't shared this much, but, man, at the end of August, I got a thing in the mail that said that you were on jury duty. And I was like, what the monkey am I on jury duty? But it was a jury duty that I've never been on before. They got me on federal jury duty. I mean, the feds wanted me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Lord, this is not good. This is not good at all. Well, when I read the letter, I wasn't on for a day or a week. I'm on for the whole month of September. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to do to me, but I'm not appreciative of it. And so I'm like, Lord, you got to get. So I got a text. I get text, emails, they even call me. And they said, we don't need you again today. So I'm marking the calendar. Happy Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what is today? The 17th. I'm down to about 3 weeks. I said, Lord, you got to get me off this. Okay. That's something I'm grateful for, man. I'm so thrilled I'm not on jury duty. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're talking about tithes and offerings. And so when you get here to Luke chapter 12, he highlights there's two types of servants or two types of stewards. A steward, you are an overseer. It's like God graces you with what you have. What God owns, it's on loan to you. And so there is faithful stewards and there are evil stewards. Now, you're going to be one or the other, okay? And to the faithful ones, leading up, I'm going to start in verse 41. He says, blessed is this type of servant. Blessed is this type. When I'm a great servant, I'm a steward of the things of God, there's a blessing attached. So he starts here in verse 41. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? Now, the answer of that question is the teaching was for anyone who would receive it and apply it. And so this is for me and you to receive it and apply it. So he said in verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Now, let me ask you something. Would faithful and wise, would that define you? Who is that faithful and wise servant, steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them a portion of food in due season? Now, he says he's going to elevate him. He's going to move him forward. You know why? Because he's faithful and he's wise. Verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So doing. Not just talking about it, but just actually do them. One that obeys the task that's set before him. And so when you're driving your car and your gas tank gets low, you've got this indicator light comes on. When it comes to giving, the indicator light in your life is your heart. And when I give from my heart, man, I'm telling you, it begins to move and the things of God begin to take place. And you know what? I realize why most people don't give is they don't trust God. You know why I say that? Because they don't believe God will do what he said. because if I truly believe God will do what he said, I'll start honoring him. Now, I'm just telling you, it was a starting point for me where I got to a place in my life and I had to say, do I trust that God will do what he said he'd do in the scripture? Can I tell you a little insight? He will. He'll do exactly what he told you he'll do. And so don't let disobedience and ask God to grace you in this area to say, Lord, I'm going to step out here. Will it be an act of faith? It'll be a huge act of faith. But you read right there, there's blessings attached to this. Let me pray. Father God, we love you tonight. We honor you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to not just give, but to trust you. That you're the God who said, I'm going to supply all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, we are on our authority series still, and so turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, you'll go back toward Corinthians, the Galatians, Ephesians. If you've gone to Thessalonians, you've gone too far. So we're going to start in Colossians 3, and we'll begin in verse 16. And so we want to give you some biblical references, some stuff that, man, the Bible's going to teach us tonight, and it's going to unleash some things on every one of us. I'm like a little kid. Boy, I'm ready to go here tonight just with the truths of the Word of God. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the Word of God, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, the only way that happens is when you become a student of the Word of God. And when you read the Bible, God will start getting in you. And what God does is when he gets on the inside of us, even with the Word, something on the inside starts happening on the outside, and there becomes a change in my life. I'm telling you, that's what began to happen. The more I'd feed the Word of God, the more it would manifest on the outside of me. And I begin to say, man, God is changing me. God's changing me. Anybody bear witness that you say, man, God has changed me. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Keep reading. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so we ought to be encouragers. Stay with the Word of God. You ought to look at people, them. Stay with the Word of God. Just hang in there, okay, with the things of God. Verse 17. And whatever you do, in word, speech, or even indeed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, everything we do, everything we say, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the name of the Lord Jesus is the authority of Jesus. We're under the authority of Lord Jesus right here. Now, if you catch something here, he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice it didn't just say Jesus right there. It said, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, is he Lord of your life? Because if he's not Lord of your life, you can speak the name of Jesus all you want, and it's not going to do any good. The only time I have legal access to his name is when he's Lord of my life. Lord of my life means that I accept him as Lord. The biblical references that is Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says this, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, reference that, it'll say if you confess with your mouth. It doesn't say confess with your mouth Jesus. It says you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart you'd be saved. So there's a nugget in there we got to get a hold of. If Jesus is Lord of your life, that means you're born again. That means you're a child of God. You know what that means? That you have a legal right to use the authority of his name. Every one of us. It doesn't say that you can use the name of Jesus if you've been born again for 5 years. No, the day you give your heart to Jesus, you have access to that name. So he said, everything you do in word or deed, you do in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we begin to see something here. when I use the name of Jesus, that is literally, it's like an authorizing of a contract with his name on it. It's like, boom, when you speak the name of Jesus, things will begin to happen. Things will begin to take place. That is a nugget of truth we got to get tonight. Now, go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. And we're just giving us a little biblical stuff where me and you can stand on. The scriptures that you can stand on. And I want you to see these things, because I'm telling you, there's going to be things jump out in this passage that will really help us tonight. Mark, chapter 16. Start with me in verse 15. And Jesus said to them, and the them here was his disciples. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The first priority, the first commandment was, he said, preach the gospel. If I'm doing anything other than preaching the gospel, I'm out of order, according to this verse. So the church's greatest responsibility is we got to get the word of God in people, because everything funnels off of the word of God. So he said, preach the gospel to who? To every creature. That's every human being needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. The good, the bad, and the ugly need to hear the gospel. Verse 16. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the resurrected Son, he'll be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So off the preaching of the word of God, we need to see people get born again. We should never lose our heart for evangelism. It should always move us to see people get born again. Move us. And on those lines, again, we're going to water baptize people Sunday. So if you need to get baptized, we welcome you. We're not going to sprinkle you. We're not going to spit on you. We're going to immerse you, okay? You're going under. That's what the word baptism means. You're going to go under, okay? God wants us to get water baptized. So he says this, you got to get born again. Verse 17. Now listen real close. And these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Now let me ask you right now, how many of you in here are believers of Jesus? Okay, this is written to me or you. These ones who will believe in my name. In my name. Now you got to get this right there. In my name. The name of Jesus. Everything we do in word or deed, we do in the name of Jesus. So he's informing us again, whatever this assignment is, we got to do it in the name of Jesus, because that's our authority in Jesus' name. Now, all the devils know that name. They're aware of that name, and that's next week. I'm not going to jump ahead. But in the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. Now, you know what this shows me right here? Would Jesus have warned us of this if demons weren't real? And some of you may ask the question, what are demons? Demons are fallen angels. These were part of the third of the angels that were with Satan in heaven, and they rebelled and they got the boot, and so now they're fallen angels. And so the demons, their design is to bring death and destruction. In other words, they hate your guts. Many people say, well, I'm a friend of the devil's not your friend, okay? And the demons aren't either. And so the Lord Jesus makes something real to us right now. He said, in my name, you're going to cast out devils. In other words, when the devils show up in your life or in situations, don't put up with it. Now listen, I'm not preaching that every time you go outside, there's going to be a devil under your bush. That's not what I'm saying. And when you look at Jesus' life, he just went through life day by day by day. But when the devil reared his ugly head, he'd say, boop, out. And so sometimes the Lord will say to me and you, when life is coming at you, you're putting up with things that you shouldn't. So what do we do? In the name of Jesus. the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to read the others really quickly because this is not where we're going tonight. But he said, in my name they'll cast out demons. In my name they. Now, if you're a circler of your Bible, look how many times he says they. They. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, by no means it'll hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. But every one of those things must be attached to what? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name, the name. When I speak that name, something happens. So what I see here, something biblically, we are commissioned to cast out devils. Just as we're commissioned, do you see this? We're commissioned to lay hands on the sick and they would recover in Jesus' name. So everything we just told you, guess what? That's B-I-B-L-E. So you're learning the scriptures. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and as you're going right here, the reason I chose this right now, it was like, okay, Lord, everything you did while you were on this earth, you modeled it for us. You modeled it for the disciples. It's almost like he said, just watch and learn. Just watch what I do. And so this passage right here, get your pens out. And if you've never taken notes, you need to tonight, okay? Get your pen, mark your Bible up, because I'm going to tell you the scriptures are going to speak to you. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they, Jesus and disciples, came to the other side of the sea, the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to a country or a region called Gadarenes or Gadara. Now, Gadara would be on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee. The other side of the Sea of Galilee is where the Jews live. The south side is where the Gentiles, and so listen real close. The Gentiles were called unclean. This area of Gadara would be called unclean. Another reason they were unclean is because they liked to raise a bunch of pigs. Pigs are unclean in the Jewish custom. Now, what's interesting is he goes to Gadara, and he's with the unclean people, the Gentiles, and he's with the unclean pigs. But Jesus still goes. Jesus still goes. And you know what I realize right here? It doesn't matter in Jesus' eyes if you're unclean or clean, he still has a heart for you. Verse 2. And when he'd come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, out of the cemetery, a man with an unclean spirit. So this area is unclean. Unclean Gentiles, unclean pigs, and now we got an unclean man. And the unclean man here has the meaning or the reference that he's demonized. He's a madman. Keep reading. Verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. Now just read into that right there. This guy who was unclean, he lived at the cemetery. You know what's at the cemetery? Dead people. People are just dying to go there. That's a joke, okay? So it's interesting here. He lives in the tombs. And no one. Now put that in there, no one. No one could bind him, not even with chains. Now this is pretty crazy when you read this, that they couldn't bind him up even with chains. So that tells me something here, that this man, he's got incredible powers, but he's out of control. No one can tame him, and hold on to that. No one can tame him. Keep reading, verse 4. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken pieces, neither could anyone tame him. So he exhibits this dangerous behavior and supernatural strength. Now, we don't see a lot of that in America. You know why we don't see a lot of that? It's because we put him in jail. We medicate him. We get him out of here. But when you get around people, missionaries that go into third world countries, My brother had been in India one time, and he came back and he said, "You couldn't believe the demonized people I saw." I mean, heart-wrenching. So this stuff still exists. This isn't once upon a time. This stuff still takes place, okay? Verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs. Now, if you read in that, night and day, he's wondering about, you know what this said to me? He goes long periods of time without any sleep, night and day. Now just think about that. I don't know about you. Man, if I don't get my rest, it messes with me. Anybody else like that, man? And so it says night and day, day after day. So, man, he's wore out. He's got this demonic activity in him. Keep reading. Listen what this says. In the mountains and the tombs, and he's crying out and he's cutting himself with stones. Do you know that cutting yourself is a form of demonic activity? I'm going to be very transparent. I realize people cut themselves. And the last thing I'm doing is casting a stone. Here's what I'm getting to on that. If you're cutting yourself right now, okay, that's not God, all right? And if that's you, we want to pray for you, okay? We want to pray for you. God will set you free. We had a girl that would come to church. And oh, my gosh, it'd break my heart. I'd see her arms where she'd cut herself. And right here on a Sunday morning, man, we had to call the paramedics. The ambulance came in here because she'd cut herself so bad and the blood started gushing out. And I said, you know what? We're going to pray for her in the name of enough's enough. In the name of Jesus, okay? So if that's you, that's not God, okay? We love people, all right? Just a little side note there on verse 5. So you see this self-inflicted agony that the devil would put on her. And again, think about this, guys. The demon's goal is to harass and to torment. They'll harass people and torment people any way they can. Verse number 6. And when he saw Jesus from afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now, to me, this worship here, it was the demons kind of were mocking Jesus, what I believe was happening. Verse 7. And he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now, when you read this here, this demon's talking, and it's like he's saying, "What's between me and you?" And understand this, he said, notice he said, "You, Jesus, Son of the Most High God." Now, here's the truth of the matter. The demons knew who Jesus was. They knew precisely who he was and the reason he did, and come back next week. But this is Colossians 2:15. It says Jesus disarmed them. So they knew what he did. He had kicked their tail really good once before, and they knew. So they recognized Jesus. And notice he said, "What have I to do with Jesus, Son of the Most High?" Again, they acknowledge and they recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Keep reading. "I implore you, I beg you, I warn you by God that you do not torment me." Now, you know what this literally means? They know the day's coming when they're going to be tormented for eternity. And this is what he's getting at. He said, You can't torment me. My time's not yet. Verse 8. Now watch how Jesus responds here. For Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Okay. There's a nugget for me and you right there. What did Jesus do? He spoke. And he spoke to the demon. He didn't speak to the man. And he said to the demon, "Come out of him. Come out of him." This is a lesson for me and you. And I want you to note something here.
Jesus didn't start jumping around. He didn't start acting like a whirlybird. He didn't start doing crazy, goofy things. He just point blank said, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Now, he didn't have to say Jesus because he is Jesus. So there becomes a nugget of truth for me and you. He addressed the demon and he said, come out of him. Now, remember this, man couldn't tame him, but Jesus does here. And what Jesus is modeling to us, the spiritual authority that we have. Verse 9. Now, this story just keeps getting interesting. Then Jesus asked him, this is the demon, he said, what is your name? And the demon answered him, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, Legion was a military, a Roman military term, which literally means thousands or a bunch, an organizing group producing great power. Now, it's interesting. Jesus says, what's your name? And he says, Legion. I don't know if he was acting like, I'm going to intimidate Jesus. You're not going to intimidate Jesus. Verse 9. Also, he begged Jesus earnestly. Now look at this. He begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. And so it's interesting here. The demon says, don't cast us out of this country or cast us out of this region. Why would he say this? Because there's places within the Bible and our lives that the demons have a stronghold. They rule these places, and a biblical reference of that is Daniel in chapter 10. Remember when Daniel prays and the Lord said, I couldn't answer you for 21 days because the prince of Persia withheld me? So that prince of Persia was a demon that controlled an area. And so another illustration, how many of you have ever been in a city or a place where you sense strong demonic activity? Anybody been to a place? Let me give you a few hints. How many of you ever been to a place called Sin City, Vegas? I can go out there for about 2 days, and I promise you, after about 2 days, I tell Shirley, we got to get out of here. You sense the devil. Here's another one. I hadn't spent hardly any time in New Orleans, but I have a good friend who said that when you go to New Orleans during Mardi Gras, he'll say you'll see manifestations of the devil you've never seen. And so every one of us, there's certain cities we go into, and I'm not going to name some of the cities around here because you may be from there. But you can go into certain cities and you can sense a suppression from something of the enemy. You're like, what the hell crap is going on here? And so this is why they don't want to go on. Now remember, this demon has been in an area called Gadara forever. It's unclean. And so it's like, we own this place. So they beg Jesus right here that he would not send them out of the country. Verse 11. Now a large herd of swine, pigs, that are unclean, they were feeding near the mountains. Now watch this, it's unbelievable. So all the demons, and notice all the demons, and the word demons is plural, all the demons, they begged Jesus saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Now you look at that and you think, wait, this is all crazy that these demons say, if you're gonna cast us out of the man, then put us in the pigs. Why would that happen? Listen real close. The goal of the devil and the demons is a thing called embodiment. Their number one goal is to embody a human being. You know why? They are spirit beings, and the only way a spirit being can manifest itself in this earth is through another person that's legally here. So their first form of embodiment is people. That's why they will manifest through people. Their second area, they'll manifest through animals. The third area is anything they can inhabit, they will. Now let me tell you what I'm about. Anybody ever in here been to a house and you said, man, that house is haunted? That's real. It's like when people go to haunted houses on Halloween. You want to get the
the H-E-L-L scared out of you, just go to those. The devil will accommodate you. You know why? They'll possess those things. They'll go in there. Let me tell you this story real quick. I knew a man in Clovis. He was a captain in the United States Air Force there. Great man, wife, two kids. This is in the 80s, early 80s. They make a trip down into El Paso, and they decide to cross the border there in Juarez. They go into Juarez, and they come back, and on their way back, one of their daughters wanted this pinata. They said all these pinatas are hanging, so they get her this little donkey pinata. They take it back, they hang it up in the room, and that pinata hadn't been there a few days, and one night, this young daughter screams, ah! They go running in there, and she's got a nightlight on, and they turn it on brighter, and they said, what's going on? And she looks up there, and that pinata's moving on its own. So he said, man, I don't know what to do. He's freaking out. So he calls my brother, and my brother said, you got two options. Number one, you cast that thing out of your house in the name of Jesus. Whatever's possessing that thing to do that. Or number two, haul him to the dumpster and get rid of him. So he chose option two. So they get in the car. They're driving to the dumpster. He's driving. His wife's in the passenger seat. She's got the little pinata donkey between her legs. And all of a sudden, she yells, Bill, Bill. And he looks over there. The pinata's rising up. It's levitating. He jumps out of the car. He slings the donkey down, knocks its head off, and throws it out. But you know what he said to me? He said, I saw demonic stuff. Now listen real close. Ephesians 4:27, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to him. I'm going to tell you right now. Don't think everything's harmless. Don't think your kids watching horror movies are harmless. Don't think Halloween's harmless. I'm just telling you right now. Oh my gosh, we got to get to the story. Quit telling stories. Verse 13. And at once Jesus gave them permission. At once Jesus gave them permission. He authorized. He consented. Now notice, once Jesus gave them permission, they couldn't do nothing until he gave them permission. And so then the unclean spirits went out into the swine. There was about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place in the sea and drowned in the sea. You see a couple things here. Number one, destruction and death. That's the devil right there. Number two or three thing you see here is notice there were 2,000 pigs. He said there was a legion, so I don't know how many of them are in there, but there's at least 2,000. Crazy thought, huh? Verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told the city and the country, and they went to see what it was that had happened. Now, it's made news in Gadara. This was on the Gadara Daily News. You won't believe what the crud we saw the other day. We saw these pigs, man, running down the hill, drowned. And so people are coming out to see them. Now, I don't know if pigs float, but they go in the Sea of Galilee. Can you pick 2,000 floating dead pigs? So, man, they're all looking like, what the monkey's going on? Keep reading. Then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been. Notice the one who had been demon-possessed and had. He doesn't anymore. He had the legion, and he's sitting there clothed in his right man, and they were afraid. They're freaking out. They're saying, what happened to this dude? We've known him for years. That's the guy who lived in the tombs. That's the guy we would see crying out at night. That's the guy who cut himself, and there he is, all chill with Jesus. Don't tell me Jesus doesn't set people free. And those who saw, verse 16, told it to him how it happened to him who'd been demon-possessed, and about the pigs. Then they begin to plead with him to depart from their region. Now, when you read that, you think, why would they want Jesus to depart from the region? Like, get out of here. 2,000 pigs is a lot of bacon. And a lot of bacon is a lot of money. And so these people chose money over people getting set free. They showed their true colors. They said,
we would rather have our economic status than people getting set free. It's a sad indictment. So we keep reading here. They begin to plead with him to depart from the region, and he who got in the boat, he had been demon-possessed, begged him that he may be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And so what he's saying, he said, no. You'll do more good. Go back and tell your neighbors on all your family. Look what Jesus does. Jesus is not only Savior, he'll set you free. He'll move within your life. So real quick, let me tell you this story about myself. You've heard me say that I walked in my sleep a bunch. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but a lot of the times I walked in my sleep, it was demonic in nature. I mean, crazy demonic nature. And so, listen real close. I'm born again. And I'm still having demonic activity. Okay? That doesn't mean I'm not saved. That just means there's some things in me that the devil has dominated in. So we go to the Bible. Me and Shelley, we go to the Bible. I said, man, I got to see what the Word of God says is. So Psalms 127:2 says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. I'm his beloved. I'm born again. So I know it's God's will for me to have sweet sleep. So remember a couple weeks ago with Jesus in Matthew 4:4. How did he defeat the devil? Three words. It is written. The Word of God will work. It becomes a weapon. And so I had the Word of God. We begin to speak the Word of God. But we had to add another place to that, another point to that. And you know what that is? I'd speak the Word of God, and then I'd say, in the name of Jesus, you won't mess with my sleep anymore. I promise sweet and beloved sleep. We would pray over me in the name of Jesus. We'd lay hands over him. And you know what? Let me tell you something. The Word of God works, and the name of Jesus works. I saw Jesus set me free in this area. So I'm telling you right now, you get in the Word of God. You find scripture that applies what you're going through. You stand on it. Anybody in here having crazy stuff with their sleep? There's every of you. Man, I can load you up with scripture. But you know what? Let me just say this. As a believer, if you believe the enemy's messing with your sleep, you're putting up with stuff you don't need to. You stand in the name of Jesus. That's why I'm going to teach you the Bible tonight and say, this is what you do. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen it work. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to tell you to do something I've never done. These are things that I've seen. So stand up. Stand up. Oh, my gosh, it's 8:01. Stand up. And I hope this helped. Man, Jesus, what he did, it helped me. He helped me. Okay, come on, let's raise our hands here to heaven. Father God, we praise you tonight. We thank you for the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your name. Thank you, Lord. And not only your name, but you give us access to your name. And Father God, speak that into our hearts. Everything we do in word or deed, we do in the name of Jesus. We do in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we pray right here that in the name and by the blood of the Lamb over people's sleep, in Jesus' name, Lord, we speak Psalm 127:2. We speak Proverbs 3:24. We speak Psalm 4:8. Woo, we speak everything about that is healing or for your sleep. Lord, in Jesus' name, in the name, sweet and peaceful sleep. Now, here's your assignment. If you're born again, you got as much right to the name of Jesus as I do. You just got to step out. You step out. And I'm telling you, when I use the name of Jesus, you talk about authority rise, and it's like the Holy Spirit moves within me. And you may say, well, I did it one time and nothing happened. Well, if those demons been in your life for years and years, sometimes you just stick with it. You stick with it. And remember, there are certain things that the Lord Jesus said, these things only come out by prayer and fasting. That's another sermon. Okay. I'm going to have to quit. Listen, if you need more prayer, if you've got questions for me, I welcome you in here. Our prayer team's going to be down here. Keep coming. Don't miss next week. We're going to dive in more and more and more, and we're just going to show you biblically. Don't put up.